All right, turn with me. We'll look at a verse from last week, Proverbs 22:29. We're looking at God's design. He's the architect for our financial life. And finances are a big deal. We face them. It's a big part of our existence down here on the earth. And God knows that. In fact, He set it up. He created work. He created commerce. He created government. And so He wants to help us, and He wants to guide us, and He wants to empower us. But how many of you know we have to do it His way? Just like you heard in that testimony. There are times in our life where we say, God, you know what? This isn't Your way. I'm going Your way. And so we're discovering what His way is for our finances. And aren't you glad His ways are higher than our ways? But His high ways can become our ways when we follow Him. And last week we saw that God helps us by giving us talent and gifts, but we have a stewardship to develop those and to bring them into skill and to excellence, that we have something to offer the world, that we can exchange what we do, either in business or employment, financially. Like David and Joseph and others, we can be excellent. Proverbs 22:29 from the Message Bible, it says, observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. They don't take a back seat to anyone. And so notice it doesn't say workers, but skilled workers. All right. And as you develop and enhance your skills, you will move from the back seat to the front seat. Tell your neighbor, I'm moving up. All right. Now how do you do it? Well, God's going to move me. Well, He has a plan to move you, but you need to enhance your skills. All right. And how many of you wrote some things down last week? Did you write some things down, some steps that you're going to take in the area of excellence, in the area of development? And we believe that God's helping you to do that. God calls you, Psalm 16:3, you are the excellent ones. I'm looking at excellent people today. All right. Now, we want to look at three areas of our life that affect our finances greatly. And God has a lot to say about these three areas. We want to look at integrity. We want to look at faithfulness. And we want to look at keeping our word. And you're thinking, Pastor, when are we going to get to the miracle money part of the sermon? This is the miracle money part of the sermon. Okay? And by walking in God's ways, oh, this is going to, you'll see how these are so closely linked to our financial life. Now, before we look at these areas, because they may sound intimidating, remember that if you're a believer in Jesus, if you are in the family of God, that God calls you children of the light. Children of the light. You are in a new kingdom. You have a new father. And so we operate in a manner that is consistent with that kingdom. We operate at a higher level than the world operates. So we're not just trying to be average and trying to get along with the flow. We're going to a much higher level. And that is simply where we live. All right. And so these areas model and are consistent with God's character. God's character. He is someone who has integrity, one who is faithful, one who keeps His word, and so do we. All right. So as we look at this, I ask you just to put your hand on your heart right now and just say this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for Your word that I'm going to receive today. It goes into my heart. It produces a hundredfold return. The devil will not get this seed. He will not capture this word from my heart. It goes down deep into my belief system, and I'll never be the same. Amen. All right. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to start with integrity. Integrity. The Bible has a lot to say about it and how it affects our finances. Proverbs 10:9, people with integrity walk safely, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fall. Have you ever been on a crooked path? A path that is slippery, that is rocky, that has an incline up or down. You can fall, can't you? All right. But if you are on a stable path, then every step is solid. Every step just keeps you going forward in life. So what does that look like? If you take the path of integrity, your financial life will just keep going forward. All right. Without integrity, you will fall. Look at Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 verse 3. The integrity of the honest keeps them on track. The deviousness of crooks bring them to ruin. Now, what's a crook? A crook is someone who doesn't handle their finances with integrity. All right, we have a place for people like that. It's called Central Prison. Okay. Verse 4. A thick bankroll is no help when life falls apart. But a principled life can stand up to the worst. How many of you know that sometimes you can walk in integrity, but your company still goes under? All right. You can walk in integrity, but still lose the contract. All right. Is a wad of money going to save you? No, but your integrity will. Principled life will. Verse 5. Moral character makes for smooth traveling. An evil life is a hard life. Good character is the best insurance. Crooks get trapped up in their sinful lust. When the wicked die, that's it. The story's over. End of hope. A good person is saved from much trouble. A bad person runs straight into it. All right. Now, the Hebrew word for integrity, and it's quite used quite a lot in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word means complete or ethically sound. It means that there is nothing else to add. It's finished. It's complete. All right. Integrity. And really our English word for integrity is very, very close. It has the idea of remember math class, an integer? It's a whole number. Integrity means being whole. It means being undivided. All right. It means something that is on the inside that keeps you safe. Now, I don't know if you've lived long enough to realize that people who make money without integrity lose it because of compromise. They lose it because things are not okay on the inside. All right. Integrity means that you do the right thing because it's the right thing. You don't need, and today is not 12 blessings of integrity. Integrity means I do the right thing because that is the only reason I need. It's because of who I am. You know, sometimes I thank God for the benefits of following the word and thank God for all these wonderful things. But sometimes when we read the word of God and we see the commandments of God, we're kind of thinking, okay. What's in it for me? Well, here's what's in it for you. You display who God is. You're consistent with his character. Amen. All right. You're not a thief. You're not a liar. Okay. So integrity means you're doing this because of who you are, not because the circumstances are good or the circumstances are bad. You're consistent. All right. Integrity means you don't need 1,001 reasons to make that decision. It is a reflection of what's on the inside. Now, another thing about integrity is integrity stands up under pressure. Under pressure. All right. So when we built this building, we had a structural engineer. And the structural engineer told us and told the team how much steel that we needed, what size, what strength, how much the walls needed to be. So they designed it. But how do you know that the integrity of the steel is good? When you put the roof on. When the storm comes. When the rain hits. That's when you know the integrity, what's on the inside, will hold up to what's on the outside. All right. If you only have financial integrity when you've got 10,000 kwacha in the bank, that's like having steel with no roof. You haven't been tested yet. Integrity means that you can look at that big, fat, brown envelope and say, no, thank you. No, thank you. I cannot be bought at any price. I can't be. Amen. It means, ladies, that you're single. You and the guy has a beautiful car and a beautiful suit, but he's also married. You look him straight in the face and say, no, thank you. Now, most guys need stronger language than that. And if you want to use stronger language, I give you a pastoral pardon. All right. Let him get the message. Okay. So it's in the heat of the moment. It's under pressure when integrity is tested. You might lose the contract. You might lose your job. But you stand up because it's the right thing to do. You weather the storms and you weather financial storms with integrity. Now, sometimes when you walk in integrity, like we saw last week with Joseph, things get worse before they get better. You do lose the contract. You do lose the job because of integrity. Now, will God withhold? Or will he hold you up? Absolutely. Is he the shepherd that's going to lead you to green pastures to eat? Yes. But it might not be the next morning. All right. But integrity says, I'll never bow. You remember the Hebrew children? Our God will deliver us from this flaming furnace. But you know what? Even if he didn't, we're going to go up in smoke. We will not bow because there's no bowing on the inside of us. There's no compromise on the inside of us. We are people of integrity. And that's who you are. Tell your neighbor that's what you are. Okay? Now, have you ever wondered why or how Judas, the disciple of Jesus, the one called to his side, the one who saw the miracles, the one who saw the feeding of the 5,000. Do you ever think, how could he sell the Savior of the world for 30 pieces of silver? How could he do that? What was the moment where he lost his integrity? Well, guess what? How many of you know, even before he went and saw the Jewish leaders, he was already a thief. He had already compromised. He was stealing from the money that people gave it to Jesus' ministry. He was already broken on the inside. And so when that temptation came, he just bowed. And he sold out his Savior. And now, forever and ever, he is a descriptive word of people who are traitors. Ah, look at that Judas. We don't say, look at that John. Look at that Andrew. Look at that Judas. That guy's a Judas. Yeah. He was already compromised. He had already lost his integrity. I want you to hear how Paul, the apostle, spoke when he talked about money. All right? It was really a big deal to him of how things were handled. Why? Because of what he was on the inside. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you night and day, toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached God's good news? You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. Devout, honest, and faultless. In what context? Money. How we worked. How we conducted ourselves. We didn't put pressure on you. All right. Look at he to another church. All right. This was the church at Thessalonica, the church at Corinth. He is reminding them how he handled money. 2 Corinthians 8:18. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. This was someone was accompanying Titus. And there was an offering that was received for another church. And we sent this brother with Titus. And not only that, but who also was chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord. How do you administer money? Do you do it to the glory of God or for your pocket? Paul says the way we handled it, it was for the glory of God. If you work for ZRA, do you do it for the glory of God? Yeah. You can do it for the glory of God, knowing that these resources can help and bless and minister to people in this nation. How do you handle the money of your house? Is it for the glory of God? Well, it's my money. Whoa. David said one time when he gave $2 billion to the temple, he said, Lord, what we gave to you came from you first. Everything we have came from you. We sing that song. It's your breath in our lungs. Whose breath? His breath. All right? So for the glory of God, avoiding this, verse 20, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift. So it was big money that they were talking about here, which is ministered by us. Look at verse 21. Providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. In the sight of the Lord, he sees everything, he knows everything. But also in the sight of men, what people can see and what they're aware of. People can say that is an honorable person in how they handle their money. In the sight of men. Well, God knows my heart. Well, the problem is I don't know your heart. I can only see your actions. What are your actions financially? Are they honorable? All right. Financial integrity was one of the ways that God told us to pick leaders. All right. So you're going to, anything that God ever asks you to do, you can't do it alone. You're going to need people. And in that group of people, you're going to need leaders. And so, Jethro gave Moses advice. Moses was doing too much up in the morning. At night, he was the father-in-law, probably heard it from his daughter first. Please get my husband home, all right? Give him some management advice. And so he did. And notice, he said, go find some people. And the math, so if we've got 2 million children of Israel, that's a kind of an average estimate, then Moses needed about 230,000 men to get the job done. But who could he pick? Couldn't just pick anybody. And it wasn't actually open to an election either. Exodus 18:21. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over to be rulers of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. All right. The New Living Translation says, capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Wasn't that you just didn't accept bribes, you hated them. You despised them. So if you're neutral about it, stay seated. I'm looking for other guys. Yeah. Message Bible says, keep a sharp eye out for competent men. Men who fear God. Men of integrity. Men who are incorruptible. Are you incorruptible? You can be. Now here's the thing. If you could be in the Old Testament, you weren't even born again. You were still a child of the devil. You still had a sin nature on the inside, doing the law the best you could. But now we're a brand new creation. We're made new in Christ. We can be and we must be incorruptible financially. Incorruptible. Integrity is what you are on the inside, but it can and it will be seen on the outside. Okay, notice that when Jethro said to go find these men, he didn't go say, go pray and God will give you the names and then you'll know that they're men of integrity. No. Go find them by inspection. Scratch and sniff. Kick the tires. Take it out for a test drive. Ask around, are these people of integrity? Amen. Ask yourself a question right now. If we had a chat with the last 10 people that you had financial transactions with, the last 10 people, what would they say about your integrity? What would they say? Well, Pastor, they wouldn't say anything because I changed my cell phone. I've used an alias. They can't find me. Yeah, exactly. 1 Thessalonians 4, this is a big deal to God. To your neighbor, it's a big deal to me. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, make it your goal to live a quiet life. I wish my neighbors would make it their goal to have a quiet life. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working. Hallelujah. Working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. So Paul is reminding, say, this is the second time I had this sermon. Remember I told you that when I was with you? Then people who are not Christians will respect the way you live. You will not need to depend on others financially. You won't need to depend on others financially. Amen. If you're 28 years old and you are a grown man, and maybe you had some hard stuff that happened in life and financially, maybe you made some decisions or whatever, don't go running home to mama. She is more than happy to make tea for you. Oh, my little baby. Oh, my baby. Grow up, man up. Go live under a tree. But don't go home to mama. Because you don't have to depend on other people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lend to many nations. That's the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 28:6. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. What's better than even the outcome, who you are on the inside, integrity or perverse? Okay? Proverbs 20:7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Ooh, friend, there's more than just you paying the rent in 5 days. What example are you to your kids? What heritage are you giving them? What are you showing them about how to handle money? Amen. Oh, they don't know. Oh, your kids know. They can put two and two together. They can put two and two together. You're a security guard, and now you're driving a 4x4. This doesn't add up. Yeah. Oh, we could have some fun right now, couldn't we? All right. Notice, remember those first passages we saw about integrity? It talked about you have sure footing. It talks about a path of integrity. All right. This brings it back to it again, right? The righteous man walks in his integrity. He doesn't think about integrity. He walks in it. He has a lifestyle. I know of it that when I was just looking at that about your children after you, and I'm aware of a guy, and please, it could be a thousand people, unfortunately, but a guy who is just sleazy financially, a liar and a cheat and a snake. You think, I know that guy too. It's probably a different guy. But anyway, you ever know somebody like that? Oh, but he definitely has assets. Okay. You know what? All of his children are the same way. Running from the law. Cheaters. liars. And, you know, we typically don't say that at their funeral because we're so polite, right? Family history. So-and-so began to be corrupt and cheat in Chingola in 1967. He went on from there to higher works of extortion in Kabwe in 1975. He earned a PhD in Dubai of being a thief in 1982 and taught this to all of his children. They're on the front row here today. And the special police are waiting for them at the guard booth. Yeah. It happens, doesn't it? Someone who doesn't walk in integrity financially, they pass that on to their kids. Oh, it must be a demon. Oh, it's not a demon. Amen. All right. Integrity. Something very closely related to integrity in the Word of God is faithfulness. Faithfulness. All right. Faithfulness, and we're going to look at a number of New Testament passages. The Greek word means to be trusted, to be reliable. To be trusted, to be reliable. Now, faithfulness, here's a really great revelation. It is a fruit of our recreated human spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faithfulness, Galatians tells us. All right. So this is absolutely within the realm of possibility. God made you a person of integrity. We just have to live that way. We have to say no to temptations. All right. Faithfulness is a fruit of our spirit, the Holy Spirit working inside. The new you is faithful. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I would imagine that many of you in the area of your finances, in a sense, you would like to progress. Okay? So if you're at a certain position in a company, you would like to progress, wouldn't you? Okay? And with that progression comes more responsibility, right? More skills needed, but then typically there's more finances attached to that. All right. If you're in a business setting, if you're running a business or you're a salesperson, you would like to progress. You'd like new customers. You'd like new markets. You'd like to expand. You'd like to have another office on the Copper Belt. Those types of things, right? Okay, well, how does that happen? It happens through faithfulness. Happens through faithfulness. Luke 16, 10. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Now, isn't it funny that Jesus had to say that? You would think we'd know that. What you do in the little is what you're going to do in the big. But sometimes we don't think that, right? Oh, when I get married, that's going to sort out my sexual purity. No. When you're single, that's how you learn sexual purity for your marriage. Amen. It's not a cure. Okay? If you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Verse 11. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Now, commentators have different ideas about what true riches of heaven. I probably would lean towards the true riches of heaven are people, right? Because your car doesn't go to heaven. Your shiny shoes don't go to heaven. People go to heaven. All right. So if God can't trust you with money, he's not going to trust you with people. That's what Jesus said. Verse 12, and if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? Oh, man, when I have my own business, see, I'm just marking time right now as the assistant manager. But whoa, man, when I have my own business, I tell you what, I'll be there early. I'll stay late. I'll be so diligent. Whoa, man, just wait. Jesus said, it's not going to happen. It will never happen. If you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? God's not going to trust you. He's watching right now. He's watching right now. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. That is another reason that the Bible teaches against polygamy. That was a joke. Okay. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Notice it doesn't say you can't have God and have money. Service means who do you worship? Who do you bow to? If you bow to money, you won't follow God. Faithfulness, we're talking about faithfulness in your finances. What does that mean? As an employer, as an employee, as a supplier, as a producer. Reliability is one of the greatest keys of long-term financial success. Remember the Greek word? To be reliable. You want to have an awesome business? Be reliable. You want to be a fantastic employee? Be reliable. We rely on you. We know you're going to do it. Reliable. And it happens time after time after time. See, reliability is not built in hours, it's built in years. See, sometimes we have this idea that somehow when I do all these spiritual things and I get the holy water and the oil and the prophecy from major 1, 2, 3, and 4, and it's all a line, and then all of a sudden just gold from heaven is just going to fall down on my head. I'm going to find a suitcase, full of Apple stock certificates. And no. How does money happen on the earth? It happens through transactions. It happens between people, institutions. Why do they happen? Because of reliability. Why do they not happen? Because of unreliability. Okay? Go to a bank. Say, hey, I'd like a loan. What's the first thing they're going to look for? Are you reliable? Have you ever had any other loans with us? Yes, well, but, you see, and, the devil and my mama and, No, they're just going to pull up your records. Are you reliable? Are you reliable? Something is happening on earth between two parties where finances are being transacted. With high levels of trust between people and institutions, you can transact and do amazing things with high levels of trust. Without trust, business halts. It comes to a stop. People can't trust you. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Many will say, everybody say. Talk. Ooh, as Christians, we talk. Many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? See, it doesn't matter what you put on your business card. It matters what you have done. If you put, in a job interview and they say, what's your greatest strength? I'll tell you what, I'm loyal. I'm loyal. Just ask my 10 last girlfriends. I am loyal. Capital L. Okay. Well, this is saying a lot of people can say it, but who can really find a truly reliable person? Someone that you can count on. Okay. Now, let's ask ourselves, who determines our reliability? If there's a gauge, if there's a factor, can we take a blood test? Can you self-determine this? No. You ask others if you are reliable. Are you reliable financially? Let's go ask your employees, people that work for you, people that you pay. Is reliable one of the words they would use? All right. Let's ask people to whom you owe money. Are you reliable? Are you reliable? You know what the banks in Lusaka say about Miracle Life Family Church? They are reliable. We've never missed a payment at any time to any banking institution in this city. Why? Because we are the people who are reliable. That's who we are. That's what we do. For this building, everybody got paid in full. Everybody got paid in full. Ask your customers, the people that you provide a service, the people that you provide a good to, are you reliable financially? If not, come up higher. How many of you know? Some of you, you know already what they're going to say. Even though they can't find you, if they did find you, you know what they'd say. Come up higher. You're children of the light. You're born again. You're the sons and daughters of the King of Kings. You're children of the faithful one. His blood is in your veins. He's given you a new nature called faithful. When Jesus comes back, I'm hoping he'll come back before the American elections. That's just my thinking. All right. But when he comes back, he'll be riding a white horse. And you know what's on his leggings? Faithful and true. That's your elder brother. That's your family. Hallelujah. I don't believe in tattoos, but if you got one, put one on both legs. Faithful and true. Or maybe just put it on your pants or your dress. Okay. Come up higher. Come up higher to where your Father lives. Amen. So one of the ways that helps us to think faithfully, and this really, I'll be honest, this one principle maybe helps me more than anything else, is you must think as a steward. A steward means you are a manager, not an owner. You are managing, you are responsible for what belongs to someone else. That means you are giving an account. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Faithful. So if you're a steward, you're managing everything that God has given you. You're managing his abilities, his skills, the responsibilities. You're managing the responsibilities of a home, being a mom, a dad, being a husband, being a wife. I'm stewarding these things. What is God looking for? He's looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness. You see, even you realize biblically our own flesh doesn't belong to us. You were bought at a price, therefore glorify in God in your body and in your spirit, because they're God's. They belong to him. I believe a woman has a right to do with her body what she wants to do with her body. Ma'am, it's not your body. It's God's body. It belongs to him. So go over to the owner manual. He's the owner. Terms of usage. I get to do with my body what God thinks I do with my body. Well, girls like to have some fun. What kind of fun? Bible fun. Amen. Hallelujah. A big deal. It's a big deal that a steward be found. Found. That means we saw you. We caught you. Found faithful. What is noticeable about you? God says it should be your reliability. It should be your faithfulness. Faithfulness is good management. Faithfulness is good stewardship. Amen. Somebody gave me something. I'm supposed to grow this. I'm supposed to protect it and grow it for the purpose that it was given. All right? Luke 12, 42. And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, everybody say a good job. Notice he found something, he looked, he inspected. There will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns. Wait a second, we read about a guy like that, Joseph. Twice it happened to him. Somebody's whole house, and then somebody said, I'll just give you the whole country to run because you're so awesome. You're so faithful. All right? Means you're a faithful manager. Proverbs 27:23. Know the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds, for riches don't last forever and the crown might not be passed to the next generation. After the hay is harvested and the new crop appears and the mountain grasses are gathered in, your sheep will provide wool for clothing and your goats will provide the price for a field. And you will have enough goat's milk for yourself, your family, and for your servant girls. How? How did that happen? Oh, you mean there's so much? There's so much to eat. There's so much to even help other people with. How did that happen? Knowing the state of your flocks. Knowing the state of your flocks. Oh, Pastor, I really don't even look at my bank statement because it depresses me. I really don't know what's going on at the farm because, it just scares me to go there. No, go find out. Be a steward. Be a manager. Amen. Know the state. Faithful over what is another man's. Because ultimately it all is God's anyway. All right. Building a currency of trust. I was having lunch last week and saw somebody, one of the key professionals that helped us when we built this building. And really one of the top guys in the whole nation when it comes to what he does. And we were chatting and everything. And he said, hey, Pastor, when are you building again? We'd love to be on the team. Why is that? They did an excellent job. We'll certainly consider them. But why is that? Because he got paid. On time, every time. Yeah. We handled things right. And so what, he wants to come back. Well, I'm glad that the top person in his profession is hunting us down to work for us. Hallelujah. If he wants to work so hard, we'll ask him for a discount. All right. I'm not really kidding. Okay. Proverbs 28:22. Now, what keeps us from faithfulness? What keeps us from being a steward mindset? Many times it's greed. Greed is like a drug. It is like an intoxicant. You don't think well under greed. Proverbs 28:22. Greedy people try to get rich quick, but don't realize they're headed for poverty. Greed blinds you. It makes you make bad decisions that you wouldn't make when you're sober. All right. So God calls us to live in integrity. He calls us to live faithful. And he commands us to keep our word. To keep our word. Look at 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. What is the primary basis of how we can rely upon God? Because God could have used a number of reasons, right? He could have physically sent an angel to stand at our side every day. Awesome God, I trust you because I see this awesome flaming angel. Woo! What is the basis that God invites us to believe that he's reliable? Isn't it his word? What he says? All right. And it's the same with us. 2 Corinthians 1:18. As surely as God is faithful, my word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you as God's ultimate yes. He always does what he says. Always. Always does what he says. For all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes. So God always does what he says. We're his children. That means we always do what we say. Now, what that means is there's going to be times that when you give your word, the Bible says it's going to hurt. Say, I love pain. I don't know. I don't like pain. I don't know. We are wired to avoid pain. So if keeping our word means pain, then we take another step, don't we? Well, that's not what the righteous do. Psalm 15, verse 1. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence of your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and who do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. So here's what blameless looks like. Those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. We keep our promises even when it hurts. See, I love to keep my promises when I know I'm going to get a kiss from my wife. Hallelujah. Right? There's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. If that's the outcome. But there are times where you have given your word and now it's going to be painful. Sometimes even financially. Inconvenient. What do you do? You keep your word. Why? Because I value reliability. I value faithfulness. How else are people going to trust me? How else are people going to trust me if I don't keep my word? Another translation says, you swear to your own hurt. See, here's what we do, folks. Here's what we do. We compromise and come up with reasons to allow ourselves off the hook when it comes to keeping our word. Well, I had a headache. Well, how bad? Well, you know, it's like a little, just a little, Well, you know, I didn't realize Man United was going to be playing, you know, last year's champions. I didn't realize that when I told you I would do that for you. I mean, after all, I have to watch football on a Saturday. I mean, it's in the new constitution. I have a right to that, you know. No. Here's the thing. I told you I was going to do it, and I'm going to do it regardless of what that means to me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it just like your father does. Just like your father. Friend, you got to make it clear. Are you born from above or below? Satan is the father of all lies. He is a deceiver. Okay? Oh, and friend, I tell you what. This right now, today, in this moment, right now, if you make a decision that I will always do what I say, I will only commit to what I will do, this will change your finances in 12 months. If you commit to this. If you just say, you know, forget it. I've had it with sweet talking. I've had it with people chasing me. I've had it with telling people next week and next week and next week. If you just stop it right now. And somebody says, hey, wait, I need this in a week. When can I have it? 21 days. Because that's what I can commit to. That's the only, I know that that's the only way I can do it. When am I going to get my money? I need it in 30 days. Well, if I said 30 days, then I'm going to go sell a kidney. Yeah. To give it to you in 30 days because I told you I would. You swear to your You're hurt. Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, let your yes be yes. Let your no, no. See, you have your yes. Well, I just had to say yes. What are you, a puppet? And somebody's got their hand up your neck and in your face. Yes. No. You say what you say. You are the controller of your mouth. You are the controller. Oh, but I had to say it to make peace. Well, it's not going to be peace when they don't get their money in 30 days. Let your yes be yes. Now, here's the key. Here's what you do, folks. You count the cost of saying yes before you say yes. And here's just something that I do sometimes, is that if you feel the pressure, you're in that moment, you just say, hey, I'll call you back in 2 hours. I can't tell you right now. I need to call you back in 2 hours. I need to call you back tomorrow, and I'll give you your answer. Okay? Because saying yes will cost you. It will cost you. Deliver on your yeses, even when it costs you. Do that every day, in every moment, in every financial transaction. And come back and tell me in 12 months what happened to your life. Well, Pastor, I was hoping for you to proclaim something on me. Friends, I don't have lightning that comes out of my fingers to make you keep your word. You do that. You're a person of truth. You're a person of integrity. And here's the awesome thing, is really what we need to do is we just need to wake up to it. Because you're already made like that in the image of God. He's recreated you on the inside. So, Pastor, in these areas, integrity, faithfulness, keeping my word, I right now am not doing terrific. Well, here's the awesome, awesome news for you. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies. But you cannot hold the mercy of God with the clenched fists of pride and denial. You've got to come clean. You've got to say, you know what? God, you're right. God, I would love to be able to have the same cell phone number for the next 20 years. People need to know where to find me. My name, and here's the awesome thing, folks. If your name is not awesome today, if there's rust and tarnish, with the mercy of God and the grace of God, God can scrub that. Today, right now, from this moment, is the rest of your life. There's mercy for you. Okay? But what we see in the Bible, Zacchaeus, different ones, is there's also making things right. There's going back. You don't go back to the person that you owe $50,000 and say, well, God forgave me. Be like God. It's the year of supernatural debt cancellation. What an unbiblical farce of a doctrine. It's ridiculous. Supernatural debt cancellation is you get money from walking in faithfulness and integrity, and then you hand it to them, and your debt is canceled. That's how you do supernatural debt cancellation. Well, that's not what the guy on TV said. Well, too bad. All right. Make things right. Receive the mercy of God. There is, friends, there is grace for your future. Okay? And I'm telling you, for me in my life, there have been seasons and moments of my life where God has called me, Walker, step up higher in these areas. Step up higher. You've got to be reliable. People have to count on you. You've got to do what you say. All right? Because I had a tendency to if you wanted me to say it, then I'd say it. Because in that moment, we're happy. And I'm just worried, oh my goodness, in 60 days you are not going to be happy. Because there's no way I can do this. Rather, just actually, I've got this other thing, this choice. Let my no be no. No, I can't take that contract. I'm sorry, I just don't have the capacity. I don't have the employees to do that. And my answer is no, because I can't do it. I can't deliver on that. I'm only going to say yes to what I can deliver on. Amen? All right. You can be like God. You can make a break from your past. You can make a break from your history. You can break free from your family tree if it's rotten financially. You can do the right thing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, I thank you for your mercy. Father, that we approach the mercy seat of God, and there the blood speaks for us, that we're forgiven, that Jesus has done enough. And Father, right now, we ask you, God, for mercy where we've missed it, where we have strayed, where we've been on the path of greed, where we've been on the path of lying, where we've been on the path of not following integrity, God. Father, we're sorry. God, we come to you. Some of you need to make things right with God first, right now. Make things right with God. Make things right with God. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. 1 John 1:9. Just confess. Confess. God, I'm asking for your mercy. Go ahead and do that. And some of you then you're going to need to make a conversation with somebody here on the earth. You're going to need to see a creditor, an employer, an employee, a customer. And you just need to say, you know what, I'm wrong and I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. From today, you can count on my word. You can count on my reliability. But don't take my word for it. Just watch. I'm going to be a different person. Father, I pray for your power, the fire of God, the love of God, the consistency of your nature, God, that is in us, Father. Help us to say no, no to every temptation, no to every hindering force in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you for new paths, new routes, new lifestyles, Father, that are starting right now. Today, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, this is not just a talk. Father, this is a call. This is a call. And you're calling us higher. And Father, our answer is yes. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Father. We love you today. Oh, we love you. We love you. We love you. Receive the mercy of God today, friends. Receive the mercy of God. If you failed, you can get up. You can get up. You can be a new person in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here in this place and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. Well, friend, he is a faithful God. He went to the cross. He drank every last part of your sin and your shame at the cross. God turned his back on his own son. And judged him in your place so that you can be free. He canceled your debt. And now is the time to receive that wonderful grace, that wonderful love of Jesus. While it happened for you, you must receive it. Jesus said, be born again. If you're a child of God, but you've turned your back, maybe like the prodigal son, and you feel like your life is a waste, it's a ruin. You have a father who truly, truly will throw a party for you, put a robe around your back, and give you a brand new start. If you're here today, you're not born again, but you need to be. You're a child who's far from the Father's house, and you're coming home today. If that's you, we're going to pray. We're going to all pray together. I'd ask you right now, lift up your hand. Just say, that's me, Pastor. Lift it up. Wave it at me real, real high. Today is my day to be born again. To come home into the family of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you over here. Thank you over here. Thank you. Who else? Be bold today. Say yes to Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. Well, friends, can we all stand to our feet? Let's stand to our feet before we go today. If you lifted up your hand, I'd ask you, grab your Bible, handbag, whatever you brought to church with you. Just come and meet me up front. If you should have lifted up your hand and you realize, oh, I should have done that, just come. Come quickly. Come quickly. We'll pray together. God will make a brand new start in your life. Awesome. Proud of you. High five. Bless you. Bless you, bless you. He loves you. He's a good Jesus. He's a faithful God. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.